All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we're doing another Pixar movie. You know, we'd only done one in like the first 4 years of the show, and now we've done two this year already. It's kind of crazy. But we are talking about Lightyear, the movie about Buzz Lightyear, the character that Andy has a toy of in the original Toy Story. It's a very weird setup for a movie. It's a, we'll get into it in the conversation, but maybe we have a little bit of a mixed reaction to how the movie turned out. But there's certainly plenty of fun to be had, and we have a great time talking about it with returning co-host Jason Harris. And that conversation's coming up in a second. And after the conversation, we'll also have a little word from Jason's daughter, Scarlett. Before we get to all that, I want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can rate and review us if you like what we're doing over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Podchaser or Good Pods or wherever you happen to see a five-star button. We'd really appreciate it if you click that five-star button and maybe leave a little review. Over on Good Pods now, you can do per-episode commenting. And so if you've got some puzzle pieces you think we missed here on Lightyear, you can comment right there on the episode and let us know about those puzzle pieces, and I will read them on our next trailer episode that I do with Jason every month. We're actually going to be recording that next week for the July movies. So definitely get in touch. Let us know what puzzle pieces you thought of for Lightyear or for any other movie we've covered recently. You could also follow us on social media at PiecingPod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. Also, I would like to mention that we have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, as well as bonus content from Awesome Movie Year, Jason's podcast. And we actually have a new bonus Awesome Movie Year hitting next week, so that is coming up real soon. And I will also be posting some new music very soon on the Patreon, so check it out. Again, it's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. So let's talk about Lightyear. All right, Jason Harris is back with us for an episode today, not one of our trailer episodes. We're going to actually talk about a movie. We're going to talk about Lightyear. Jason, are you excited?
No.
Yeah, that's good, Jason. I'm glad that you're not particularly excited, but I'm excited to talk about this movie. I think we'll have a good time.
Well, we saw it together at a preview, and I think the most fun part for me was that I got to take my daughter, who will be a special guest later in this episode. But when saw it about a week before recording this, and when preparing this episode, there was really nothing memorable to me about this movie, and I gave it like a decent review on my Letterboxd. Go for Jason, follow me there. But like, I think that was more like because of the experience. We had a nice theater, it was just a few of us, and I got to take my kid, you know. But like, there's really nothing memorable about this thing.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I mean, it was a weird idea to begin with, trying to make a movie about the real... Okay, they sold it as the real-life Buzz Lightyear. What the opening title card straight up says is, no, it's actually the movie that Buzz Lightyear was based off, which I think we thought maybe that was what was going to be the case. It seems like the popular theory, and we mentioned this on the trailer episode, is that it's not really the movie, it's the cartoon that was based on the movie, much like the real Ghostbusters was based on the Ghostbusters, and then you have a toy off of the cartoon. But then the director came out and said, actually, no, this is meant to be a live-action film within the world of Toy Story. So I don't think they knew what they were making when they made
it. It was really confusing just hearing you explain it right there.
Yeah, right.
I do agree that it felt like a live action film. I kind of enjoyed it. You know, it's an action movie for kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I'm not calling this movie bad. I definitely had a good time. I just don't think it's that great. And I certainly hope for more, especially after the run Pixar has been on lately. But let's start getting into some puzzle pieces. And we'll talk about more about what worked and what didn't along the way. What do you have for your first piece?
I mean, you could pick any movie where someone gets stranded. This is what I feel like also when I was like kind of picking these. They're also tropey, right? Like they just kind of pick tropes to work with. So like my first one is, you could pick any movie where someone gets stranded in space or on another planet. And ages in a different way than we're used to aging here on Earth. So I went with Interstellar because there was a lot of that idea of not just aging in a different way, but the journey to go back home to save someone else. So, it definitely had some of those visuals as he was entering hyperspeed into the interstellar realms.
Sure. Yeah, you have the wormholes. And also, I had it on my list as well. And yeah, you have the whole slingshotting around a star to get off the planet, which is a total interstellar move. And all of the playing with time and all that, that's always a Nolan thing, but especially in Interstellar, he plays with it the most. I think that's a pretty clear inspiration here. I think it's definitely a good one to kick it off with. I'll go with a combo of just in general Star Trek and Star Wars. I mean, you kind of have to, if Buzz is basically a sci-fi adventure character and also a little bit based on, of course, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong and the Apollo 11 mission, you've got to include the classic Star Wars and Star Trek series as the thing that every kid at that age had a toy from. Even me, I wasn't a big Star Wars or Star Trek fan, but I had Star Wars toys. You know, I think everybody did in the 90s and the 80s. And so I think you kind of have to bring those into what, was meant to be this character.
Yeah, I think you're right. Again, it's like these big overarching things, because if you're going to Star Wars, you can go to the Death Star or something like that, and these kind of alien spaceships, and you can just Google alien spaceship movie and just pick your, inspiration, right? You can choose any of the alien movies, whatever you want, right? But there is this, whole set sequence of him kind of going to that spaceship that seems to be like kind of overlooking the planet that they're stuck on and keeping them there. And so and with that, let's throw Elysium, the not so good movie from Neil Blomkamp, where they have to go and create a society in another world. Not that one was all about like the rich 1% doing it. This is just about, hey, we got stranded and now we're going to build the best life we can here. So there's kind of a parallel as well.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one, Elysium. I wonder what that movie would be like on rewatch. I mean, that guy's got so many interesting ideas, but the movies just don't always work out that well, except for District 9. I would like to rewatch it one day, even though I didn't like it that much when it came out.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah. I'll go to another piece, and like you said, you could just Google, any spaceship, outer space movie and just throw it on the list. But I'm going to just include one other specific one for my list here, and that's Lost in Space. You've got the crew, the robot, the leaning into more silly B-movie plots. I wish there was more of that. And I'll just say, you plugged your letterbox at the top of the episode. I'm going to plug mine now by David Rosen. But I mentioned in my letterbox review, I wish this felt more like a late 80s, early 90s sci-fi rather than a 2020s sci-fi action movie. If it leaned in more to that B-moviness, that Lost in Space kind of wackiness, I think it would have been better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to say B-movie, but like just that kind of 80s feel,
Yeah.
And everything. Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. It's missing that whimsy of an E.T. or, didn't we talk about Space Camp not too long ago on something? Right?
I feel like we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Just something a little it could have been more fun, I think, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun and inventive and wacky. But what do you have for your next piece?
Well, I mean, the best character is probably like his little robot cat, that Pixar does in everything now, So like, who is the sidekick animal that, is going to be their comic relief? So, I mean, again, you just pick any movie, you throw a dart at one. I picked Up because I really liked Up and Doug and everything like that. And, that's obviously a movie about people transporting from one place to another, too. But I think Sox the cat is the breakout character, and there will be a lot of Sox toys from this one. And Pixar definitely has that habit of just, hey, here's a cute sidekick that we're going to get all the laughs from.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It's always the best character. I'm going to piggyback on your puzzle piece there, because I had a piece specifically about Socks the Cat as well. And that is going to be Captain Marvel, another movie I didn't exactly love, but the sidekick cat is the best part of it. Goose the Cat. So also an orange tabby, and, you know, big sci-fi adventure with a cat in it. So I went with Captain Marvel for mine.
Yeah, you know, and there was some, to me, tonal confusion in there. But Captain Marvel's an interesting piece also, because it has that, like, first we're working with the mother and then we're working with the daughter, right?
Sure, yeah, actually, that's true. That's a really good point.
And then this one is Buzz is working with the grandma and then the granddaughter. So I think that's a good piece in that regard, because, you know, that's another thing is, like, I worked with blah, blah, blah from your family, and now I'm going to, you know, do this and everything.
Yeah, no, I like that.
You know, I owe it to your other family member type thing.
Look at that. You just upgraded my puzzle piece. Yeah, that's why we bring you on, Jason.
Well, Dave, this is why you don't have me on a lot, because I fix your crappiness. So, you know.
What do you got next?
How about I went with the ultimate original, or one of the original stories of going home. I went with Homer's The Odyssey. Let's give this show a little, you know,
yeah. gravitas
if we shall. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. But I mean, all these are, you know, the journey home and all the obstacles you face along the way. And I think as we'll get to my daughter's puzzle piece, she brings up some good obstacles there. But, you know, we don't talk about The Odyssey a lot anymore. Why is that, Dave?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it should come up as a puzzle piece on a million things, you know?
I don't know, Dave. How come our episodes are always like 12 minutes and all the other ones you put out are like an hour and 15 minutes? What is going on?
You're a busy man, and I'm always, you know, I'm always racing against the clock whenever I have you on. That's
Don't put the blame on me.
Well, I still got a couple more pieces here, so don't worry.
I got one or two.
We'll stretch it. But I'll go for my next one. Actually, speaking about just the journey home and just all the obstacles in the way, I'll go with The Martian. With Matt Damon, another, you know, stranded on a planet, has to survive, has to figure out a way, since there's no way of getting home anytime soon. So they're going to have to find a way to thrive on that planet. And yeah, I mean, the ingenuity of the scientists to be able to create life on that planet and be able to have a life and continue on. And, you know, like we were just talking about, his sidekick, the woman, she ends up, you know, getting married. She has kids, and the kid grows up, ends up being the hero. So, like, plenty of life goes on this planet in the meantime, even though they can't get off the planet.
I think, Dave, you proved my point. His sidekick, the woman. You didn't really. It's Hawthorne, I think. But, you know, like, there's nothing memorable about this. I'm not even blaming you. Like, yeah. I'm not coming to his sidekick, the woman, right?
I remember, you know, the granddaughter's name, Izzy, but I didn't remember what the grandmother name was. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Isn't his sidekick, the woman? Didn't this just get banned in Saudi Arabia because there was like a same-sex kiss and everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Let's yeah, but it's about right. So
yeah, pretty much,
you know, let's go with that. Movies banned in other countries because of controversial matters. Clearly, the inspiration here was The Last Temptation of Christ. So, you know, I think before they wrote Lightyear, they went back and they watched The Last Temptation of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they were like, how do we translate this into a Pixar film?
Yeah.
And, you know, Scorsese, he's so influential. His handprints are all over things that you wouldn't expect.
I'm just picturing Willem Dafoe with, like, big Pixar eyes, just, you know, just hanging on the cross.
He almost looks Pixar-y already.
He does. He's got a very animated face. I love it. Great piece. That rocks. I'll go with my last piece, which is going to be... I don't remember if you might have brought this up on the trailer episode, but even if you did, I'm still going to use it. And that's Rian Johnson's Looper, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a young Bruce Willis, and there can only be one of them in order to close the loop on the time travel. So one of them has to kill the other. And Yeah, that's basically where Lightyear goes. The bad guy ends up being Buzz from a different time period, and we end up with that whole bad guy is the alternate version of himself thing, which has been done in a lot of other movies as well, but I felt like Looper is a good example of it.
Sure, why not? And I mean, you know, that also goes back to your Star Wars piece in that, you know, that older version is almost like a father figure, fatherly version of Buzz. So you can do the dark, you know, Darth Vader, Luke thing, you sure. know, everything, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, Dave, you didn't mention any Robot Uprising movies. So okay. I feel like that's another trope that this would have taken on.
Yeah, maybe the Mitchells versus the Machines. Throw that in there.
Sure, we'll go with that one. That's a good one. And then I will go to my last piece then, which, you know, again, another trope here is the ragtag group, right? The ragtag group of, you know, losers who have to come save the day who aren't up to the standard of the hero here.
Yeah.
And I always like the other guys. We'll go with the other guys there because they play on that, you know, kind of buddy cop movie loser thing very well.
Well, yeah, that's a good part of this movie that we didn't really quite get into is just how ridiculous the other sidekicks are in this. And yeah, and that's a good one there. I like the other guys as a piece.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this trend is now that that Taika Waititi has to be
everything.
Comic relief is every voice actor. And it's like, I know he's funny, but like, dude, the law of diminishing returns, if he's doing the same thing in everything, it's just kind of boring, you know?
Yeah. So,
but yeah, no, I mean, it's whatever. Hey, Dave, you know, I was once hired by Russian billionaires to write a movie about they had access to the Russian space program.
Okay.
And these were all like oil and tech billionaires. And, you know, there was either like, hey, we have to, you know, capitalism came into Russia. We either have to use our money or, you know, or pay taxes. So let's all become movie moguls. Right. So it was very wild, wild westy.
Sure.
And basically what they wanted. None of this is going to sound good. Let me warn you. Like we basically tried to avoid getting the gig multiple times, me and my old writing partner. But then when they told us that, like, they were like, well, we want you to do it. And we're like, eh. And then they put the number out in the air, like, yeah, we're horse. We'll do this.
Sure.
For this. It was a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Basically, they wanted a female pop star Britney Spears type to shoot a music video in outer space, right? Mm. So like she goes and she trains with the Russian cosmonauts. And then of course they go up to outer space and everything goes wrong, right?
You okay. know?
So it's kind of a fun, like you could do like, you know, an other guys type thing and her, you know, they're not going to send like the best with her and everything like that. And it's interesting now because we know Tom Cruise is doing this movie where he's going to outer space and blah, blah, blah. And we were kind of talking about that with all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did this whole draft. So there was like, you know, obviously she wants to go to outer space. And I think what my old writing partner came up with this thing where it just became like a decadent set, like a Truman Show set. So it's not really. And then, you know, she finds out it's a lie. So they do have to send her and she gets stuck. And then her team has to rescue her or like one of the like cosmonauts becomes like in love with her. And then he like, kidnaps her and takes her to outer space. It just became crazy and crazy. But by the second draft, we had something that was like, okay, this is at least workable with the insane idea that you gave us, right?
Sure.
But what happened is the notes that we were getting were not like, hey, we're getting notes from other writers. It's like, no, the notes are coming from tech billionaire or computer programmer who's now movie producer, right? You know? So by the third or fourth draft, I didn't even understand what they were asking for anymore, which is strange. Like at least normally you could be like, oh, this is a bad note, but I understand it.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we're going to take a crack at it. And the tech billionaire like wrote what seemed to be a, I don't even know, like, I guess he was just watching 2001 over and over and it was like a manifesto, but it had no semblance of a screenplay. It would be like me saying like, hey, no, I'm going to design your computer program now,
yeah.
even though I don't have any ability to do it. And when we read the draft that they sent in, I'm like, I don't understand. I don't even know if this is a screenplay anymore. So we got paid a lot of money, and then they just kept tinkering and tinkering until it became something that was not feasible as anything at all. So it's
funny. What do you think it would cost to shoot that final screenplay in its final form? What do you think it would cost to shoot something like that?
Well, I don't think they changed the I think they were going to look at like a $25 million budget, right? Because they had access to like the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they were like, oh, we'll get Britney Spears. And I'm like, you won't. But maybe now you could. But, you know, but if you have access to the Russian space station, you should definitely use it, right? And we did all this research and, you know, all these fun like training montages, you know, that you would want in there, right? All that fun stuff. And then they just took it all. I mean, it wasn't that they like up the budget in their version. It was just like they just had like this act three with just these like monologues that went on for pages at a time talking about like what is life and the philosophy of life. And I'm like, wasn't this a comedy movie we were making a few minutes ago? And it just became so obscure and obtuse and not a movie. It's funny when people get where they overreach like that. You know, not that this was some great piece of art, but it would have easily been a movie that could have been made and, you know, would have done fine on whatever streaming or in Russia, at least, you know,
who knows,
right? So just very, very strange, Dave.
I hope it comes to pass at some point. Like, you're just like, you don't even know about it. It just randomly shows up as a movie. That would be amazing.
I did act for them in a movie, which was, it was called Love in the Big City 3, and it was their version of Sex in the City, right?
Oh.
And what happened
Were you a Samantha?
I'm more of a Dorothy. Okay. Wait, that's Golden Girls. But so the producer came into town. He goes, I want to see you do comedy, right? So I took him to like the worst open mic in town, like give him a real experience, you know? And you know, everyone was like dying at this place. And I just went up and I didn't tell jokes. I just made fun of the crowd. And it went well. And he's like, I will put you in movie now. Right? You know? And so I was in this movie and he goes, you see this man over here who you act with? He is like Russian Barry Manilow, right? And then there was like a woman. And he's like, she is like Russian Marisa Tomei, you know? And it was like all like this. And it's funny because when, you know, I used to work on the strip and I'd meet a lot of people from Russia, I'd be like, oh, I was in a Russian movie, and I'd tell them, and they all knew the movie. So like they had a successful track record, but it's just funny how they kind of just went crazy on this one project and everything.
Wow.
You know,
that was the tangent to end all tangents on this podcast. But
I feel like that was very therapeutic for me. That was nice.
I'm glad. You know, to wrap it up on Lightyear, one thing we didn't like say in our puzzle pieces, are there other examples you could think of movies about a movie character from another movie? Like, I was trying to think of one because it has to have happened at some point, but not a spinoff, but like about a character that was a movie in another movie.
So, I mean, you're not talking about. So, like, I was thinking of, like, the Michael Keaton or the Jennifer Lopez character from Out of Sight who goes into, like, Jackie Brown or something like that. But you're talking about someone who's a character within a movie. Like, didn't they do that in those fake previews? Oh, like Hobo with a Shotgun or something like that, right?
Oh, interesting. I guess that would kind of work. That would kind of work, yeah, because it's like it's a thing that's not really a movie. It's just something within another movie, and then they end up making a real movie out of it. So like Machete would be another example of that.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, okay. Then let's throw that on there as a final one and then wrap it up. Is there anything else you want to say about Lightyear before we finish this?
Well, I think we're all just kind of like, you know, like you could tell we're reaching, and it's just kind of a bummer because we're, you know, we did this, you know, we expect a lot from Pixar because they deliver a lot. And this just felt like a real money grab type thing as opposed to like, you know, something where they're like, hey, let's really, you know, focus in and, you know, make this a full Pixar film with all the, you know, the messaging and the emotional resonance and everything. This just felt like kind of like a thing.
Yeah.
That was just kind of there.
Yeah. Well, last thing I'll mention is the Inside Out sandwich. Very keto friendly if you just remove that bread. That's kind of how I eat on a regular basis. So I guess I'm living in the future.
My daughter had one of those the next day for breakfast, and she liked it.
Good, good. Mm. Well, we'll get to that interview with Scarlett here in a minute, but is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
You know what, Dave? I hate to plug you because you're just horrible at everything.
Of course.
No, man, I watched The Northman, and man, that just kind of blew me away recently. So I really, really liked The Northman, and I know your episode just dropped this week on it as the time of this recording. So it's not really my greatest pull from out of nowhere, but I will say, I don't think I mentioned this. If you have BritBox, watch The Responder, Martin Freeman, very, very cool 6-part miniseries, which he's the master of. So those are the two that like kind of are on the top of my mind right now.
Awesome. Great recommendations. And tell people what you got going on with your comedy and your trivia nights and with Awesome Movie Year.
Yeah, we have a residency for Trivia Night at the Resorts World. I think we're the only ones on the Strip right now. That's every Thursday at Doghouse, 6 to 8 p.m. And that's a lot of fun. We kind of do like a whole trivia party thing. I roast the crowd. I have a DJ. My buddy Gabe Nolasco is very good. And then we also do trivia night every Tuesday at the Craft House in Henderson. And, you know, if anyone ever wants a special event, anyone who's listening, we have Harry Potter games. We can do sports games. We can do full movie games. We can do 90s games, whatever it is. So hit me up at Jason Harris Comedy on any of the socials. And Awesome Movie Year, we are finishing 1980. By the time this is released, Dave, I believe we will have revealed the next season.
We will.
So can I mention it here?
Might as well. Yeah, tell them.
I'm very excited. AwesomeMovieYear.com, Awesome Movie Year, Facebook and Instagram, Awesome Movie Pod on Twitter. But I think we're all like, when we researched this season, we were like, holy cow, this is just going to be maybe the best Awesome Movie Year season. We're doing 1992, and it's just going to be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Awesome.
There it is.
Jason, thanks as always for being here, and let's go listen to that little interview you did with your daughter, Scarlett.
All right, I'm here with my daughter, Scarlett. We saw Lightyear. Did you like it, Scarlett?
Yes.
What was your favorite part?
I don't know.
All right, and we're doing Dave.
Wait, actually, no. My favorite part was when he met the Robo Cat.
Oh yeah, that cat was hilarious. I agree with you. So what we're doing this for Dave's podcast, which is normally really boring, but we'll make it better, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what movie did Lightyear remind you of?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
And why is that?
Because Spider-Man, I think he's like in different dimensions. And then Buzz Lightyear saw, like we saw, like Buzz Lightyear, the young one, saw the old version of himself.
Right. There were multiple versions from different time periods, maybe different dimensions, right?
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Now, Scarlett, tell all of Dave's listeners, eat your slop, you pigs.
Eat your slop, you pigs.
Hey guys, this is David, and I wanted to tell you about Newsly. It's an all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android. And what it does is really cool, because I don't know, if you're like me, I don't have a lot of time for just sitting around and reading stuff. I'm always either driving or doing something, and just to like sit down and read, it's like, you know, who has time for that? And so with Newsly, you could basically turn any web article into kind of like a podcast, and it reads the article in a natural human voice from basically anything on the internet, anything on the web. And this way, you know, you don't have to sit there reading and scrolling. You can listen to it just like you would a podcast. And it's got podcasts too. Piecing It Together is on there. But then you could also find articles from all kinds of topics, from, you know, entertainment and movies to sports and tech and business, science, all that kind of stuff. So really, if it's out there on the web, you can find it and you can listen to it. And I've been using it as my default podcast app, and you can too. And you can download Newsly right now for free from newsly.me. Check out the link in the show notes. It's available, like I said, on Android and iOS in the App Store and the Play Store. And there's a premium version available, and my listeners can get a 1 month free premium subscription by using the promo code PIECINGIT, but all of the I's are ones. So that's PIECING1T, piecing it, but all of the I's are ones. And I've got that in the show notes too. If you're like me out driving around listening to stuff and you can't pull over right now, you can check it in the show notes and find that promo code and get that free 1 month premium subscription to Newsly. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jason Harris. And thank you, Scarlett, for that lovely message to our listeners. If you enjoy what we do here on Piecing It Together, I hope you're subscribed. You can, of course, do that on all the major podcast apps. We're, of course, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, Podchaser, all the apps you can find us on. Make sure you're subscribed. And if you really like us, you can hit that 5-star button and maybe leave a little review while you're at it. We'd also love to hear from you on social media. You can join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at PiecingPod. And don't forget about our Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where, like I said at the top of the show, we've got bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and my music career. Speaking of my music career, I just finished scoring this film called Move Me No Mountain. That's going to be having a premiere later this week at the Nevada Women's Film Festival here in Las Vegas. And so, yeah, I'm going to let you guys know how that all goes, and hopefully you'll be able to see the film soon and at least hear the score soon. And right now what I'm going to do, I always close these episodes out with a piece of my music. I'm going to play something that I made for a short film from the same director as Move Me No Mountain, Deborah Richards. I scored her film Dark Lights a couple of years ago, and eventually I'll put this out on like a compilation of music from films, but this is what I call the Dark Lights Suite. It transitions from piece to piece from the film. Three of the best sections of the score from this about 20-minute short film condensed into like a 6-minute track. So I hope you enjoy it. It's called Dark Light Suite, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together coming up real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.